Bits, a brief podcast before the M&A and Tech Conference in Berlin. Welcome to another edition of Tech Law Bits, a small podcast in preparation of the IBA M&A and in the Technology Sector Conference in Berlin on March 23rd and 24th, so only 2 weeks' time from now. My name is Martin Schoenbacher. I'm a tech lawyer in Berlin and already look forward to seeing many international colleagues in my hometown. And one of these lawyers is with me in the show today. I have Raphael Dana from Paris in the line. Good morning, Raphael.
Good morning, Martin. Thank you very much.
Very well. One of the most visited sessions of the conference will, of course, be the roundtable sessions on hot topics in tech M&A. And to give the listeners a flavor of what to expect, I speak with some of the moderators of their specific roundtable on their specific topic. And the topic we're talking about today is cloud computing and data protection, which Raphael will be co-moderating together with Astrid Wagner from Luxembourg and Roland Marco of the Austrian firm of Wolf Theiss. So, Rafa, could you maybe briefly introduce yourself before we speak about the table topic?
Sure. So, first of all, Martin, danke schön. And I am Raphael Dana. I am a tech lawyer based in Paris. And when Astrid, Roland, and myself were assigned the cloud computing and data protection topic, our initial reaction was that it was, first of all, a broad topic and also one that we have all, as lawyers in that field, been playing with. And so we thought of a scenario where we will put ourselves, but also the participants of our roundtables, in the shoes of the counsel to an American investment fund who has spotted potential acquisition target in the healthcare sector, which means that right off the bat, you have a combination of privacy-related questions with respect to special categories of data because of the healthcare sector, the fact that the impersonation is on the American side, and we have decided also that the target for this scenario is going to be a public EU-based healthcare center. And so the goal of our roundtable, and keeping a privacy-focused approach with a twist of M&A into it, is going to debate what showstoppers we would see and how this whole operation should be approached. So that would be really the kickoff summary.
Great. Yeah, sounds very interesting. And where does the cloud angle come into this when acquiring a health center from the US viewpoint?
So actually, part of the scenario, we have also put down the fact that the target is using tools such as Microsoft 365, Google Docs, and because we did not want our Amazon friends to feel left out, they also use AWS. All of that to store a mix of data, including patient data, of course, but also other less sensitive personal data, such as information about their employees and other HR-related matters. So the cloud computing part, and thanks for pointing that out, is because the data of the target is hosted with those cloud providers.
Of course, like we know, like a lot of clients, a lot of companies actually have all their data in the cloud. It's not only startups, but also, as you mentioned, healthcare professionals, health data. We all have clients in that field, and it makes absolute sense from my point of view to have a look at this. And as you said before, like cloud computing as well as data protection for us technology lawyers, this is nothing new, are there for maybe the M&A angle gives it an additional touch. I have also recorded a podcast with Søren Skipsted on cybersecurity threats, which is a different angle, but it's also on the data protection side in a way. And it shows how acquisitions, this angle plays a much greater role more and more every year.
Exactly.
Do you see the same? Yeah.
I totally do. And also we actually have the idea of kicking off the discussion with three points. The first one being, do you see any showstoppers to the operation? The second one is going to be focused on how to best approach the due diligence phase. And the third one, which absolutely rebounds on the podcast that you just mentioned that you did with Søren, we will discuss how worried should the acquiring party be worried about technical measures and cybersecurity. And I know for a fact, because I am a regular listener of your quality podcasts, that it's good to throw in a takeaway or something that your listeners are going to be happy to learn about. And it happens that less than 3 days ago, on 28 February 2023, there was an opinion that was rendered on the draft adequacy decision about the transfer between the EU and the US about the data privacy framework. So it makes the topic and the question of data transfer from the EU to the US very present and very actual and live. It is something that is happening right now. There are still debates about how the data privacy framework is going to be put in place. Some questions remain about questions about certain rights of data subjects, for example. So we will, of course, discuss that at the roundtable on the patient level, because as a patient, when you go and get a medical aid in the EU, you might want to know that at some point your patient data, information about what happened to you, is likely to leave the borders of the European Union. And then right. You want to be able to exercise your rights.
Absolutely. And actually, myself, together with Jessica Lee, have a table on the data transfer impact assessments and executive order, as well as the new expected DPF at the same session. And obviously, that's a hot topic, like you said. You mentioned showstoppers. Could you name maybe one or two where you see if, you know, as a potential buyer, you see this happens within the target, we should let them have fix this first or walk away from the deal?
Yes, indeed. In such deals, the very first thing that we would advise to look at is how consent has been collected from the patients at the time they were, I won't say onboarded, but they were welcomed. They entered their journey with the healthcare facility. This is something that is crucial because we see now a form of digitalization of those processes happening. We made studies and discussions with French healthcare specialists about how can you dematerialize the consent collection when someone is walking into a hospital or a clinic. And now we see health facilities that are going to welcome you with an iPad. How valid is the consent that you put through the iPad? And if we are counsel to an entity acquiring such a healthcare facility, then how can you be sure that you're not actually buying a liability, that you're not buying a security breach? So the first showstopper would be focused on how consent has been collected and how it is. Right. How can we evidence it? And the second one, rebounding on your...
Maybe before you go on to the second, I think that's a great point, and it actually helps a lot in, together with the maybe internal data people, help convince the C-level of the company to take care of consent and you know, take maybe see that sometimes people will not consent, well, maybe not in a hospital, but will not consent, you know. But if we don't have proper consent in place and have there's doubts on the validity of the consent because it's freely given or not informed or whatever, then later, when you enter into a sales process, it might be that people, potential buyers, private equity firms walk away because of data protection issues. So that has actually become a, in the face of setting things up, because that has been done in the past, obviously, has been important. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you with the second showstopper.
No, I totally agree, and this has become a major point. So that's what would be one of the first potential showstoppers or things we would recommend to clear up upfront. The other part is kind of connected to that, and also to the podcast that you previously did on cybersecurity, because it's a good thing, of course, if everything consent-wise is crystal clear. But if you realize that on the technical standpoint and on the organizational and informational measures taken, there are problems potentially leading to security breaches. When we talk about patient data, the consequences can be absolutely massive. So it's a very much privacy and M&A question to validate that the technical measures at the target level have been implemented the right way. And this is something that I think I heard a US colleague friend mention at some point, is that you don't want to acquire your next breach. And I was a big fan of that expression, because it's so true. And you could literally be in the process of acquiring your next security breach. So that would be the second big one.
Absolutely. I have actually a case going on right now where that might happen. Although you have presented your case very well for your table, Rafa, maybe last question. Why should attendees of the conference join your table on March 23rd?
Well, I would say that we will absolutely, along with my co-moderators, Astrid and Roland, make super sure that the discussion will be very lively, that we will go through these topics and making sure that everybody will walk away with a new perspective on these questions. And because we would just love to share these real life situation with all attendees. So don't hesitate, join us, and you will walk away from the table with a feeling of warmth and happiness.
Great. Warmth in the clouds. That's good.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much, Rafa. Very much looking forward to seeing you in Berlin on March 23. And the same goes out to everybody who's still hesitating to join. It will be a great conference. And we still hope that the weather will be the same as today in Berlin or in Marseille, where you are currently. Thanks, Rafa. And see you in a couple of weeks.
See you soon. Thank you, Martin. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. TechLawBits.